Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Now, as you've been hearing, the HSE this afternoon announced several changes to hospital practices to address overcrowding and the crisis in our hospitals. So what will change? Staff have been told to make themselves more available for weekend work. Senior clinical decision makers have been asked to remain on site more. And also, non-emergency department doctors will be allowed to assess patients in the ED when delays are considered dangerous. One hospital that is often lauded for its innovative approach and which is held up as a positive example is St Luke's Hospital in Kilkenny, whose clinical director, Professor Gary Courtney, joins me now. Professor Courtney, you're very welcome to the programme. Thank you very much indeed for giving your time, because I know you, along with your colleagues, are extremely busy. Can I first get your reaction, before we talk about your own operation there in St Luke's, your reaction to the changes announced to operations by the HSE this afternoon to address the crisis? What do you make of them?
Thanks very much for asking me on. I've actually just walked up the stairs from the acute floor where I've been working, and I hadn't seen that press conference, but I've just heard the news as you mentioned them. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'd like to see it in detail, but you know, it's perfectly reasonable to ask that patients who are sick be seen by senior decision makers. That's a good idea, right? And I think I just heard something like doctors from other specialties will be allowed to see patients in the acute floor, or the emergency department, the acute mm-hmm. medical assessment unit. That's happening right now. So I've just come from the acute floor, and we have surgical SHOs down there, surgical registrars, medical SHOs. There's another medical consultant there. Pediatricians will be down there. So that's sort of what we're doing at the moment. But I think maybe the difference is we have too few doctors looking after too many patients and with very poor IT. And the answer to all their questions is we need more staff and maybe less patients, because perhaps there could be better decision-making in where patients end up than in an overcrowded emergency department. Mm-hmm. That's not good for patients.
Some of what we'll be discussing in relation to St Luke's, but the stuff that they mentioned then, or that they changed, so to speak, at the press conference today, you say there won't be a change because that's happening already.
I think that's happening. I'll listen to the press conference in detail in case I missed something there, but I can absolutely tell you for certain we have senior decision makers on the floor all over Christmas, all over New Year. Now, can I just explain what senior decision makers mean? Mm-hmm. You may be thinking that's only consultants. That's not true. Senior decision makers are consultants, of course, in all sorts of disciplines, you know, from surgeons to physicians to pediatricians to obstetricians. But there's also very senior decision makers who are doctors who work with them and on their teams, and they'd be senior registrars. And something that's often overlooked, we have advanced nurse practitioners now who are autonomous senior decision makers in hospitals who carry an enormous load in the hospital. It's one of the best developments in the health service in the last few years, but there's not enough of them.
Okay,
we have three of them here in St. Luke's in acute medicine, and they carry an enormous load, and we'd like to have five of them. And if we had five advanced nurse practitioners in acute medicine, we could be able to schedule them 7-7, mm-hmm. which is what everybody's talking about. But you can't schedule 7-7 with insufficient staff. There's a certain mathematical formula. You need a certain amount of staff to do. Like, for instance, take me. If somebody rostered me to work on Saturday in the acute floor, that'd be fine. But then I wouldn't maybe be working on Thursday. But who's going to run my acute liver clinic on Thursday?
You run into problems if you don't have the staff. I do understand that. I do want to move on and talk about operations in St. Luke's in just a second, but the chain, so to speak, that's been announced today as well is that staff have been told to make themselves available for weekend work. Will that be a change in any way, in your opinion?
The tone there is a bit odd, to make themselves available. I'm the clinical director here, and if I need staff for weekend work, I request them. I tell them that we're under pressure. Consultants, nurses here, radiographers, nobody ever says no if it's needed. But the problem is, if you keep coming back to a never-ending crisis, to hard-working staff who really are trying their best, and you keep doing that without changing the fundamental structural issues, then you're going to run out of staff. And you know, a lot of our staff are leaving the country already, and a lot of our posts, I can't speak too much for other people, but I know about 900 consultant posts aren't unfilled, are unfilled at the minute, and if we had those 900 consultants working, things would be a lot different. So we're all for senior decision makers. We're all for senior decision makers looking after patients. Obviously, they'll be better at it than very junior decision makers, and they're fully willing to do this, and they've worked so hard over Christmas. I'm very proud and privileged to work with staff here on the acute floor over Christmas and a new year, because they're doing their best. But you must
keep going back to the same well all the time, is your point. Okay, I hear that loud and clear. Can we talk about your own hospital for a second, St. Luke's, which, as I said at the very start, is lauded. It's held up as a positive example very often. But I know your hospital, like all the others, are under extreme pressure at the moment today. According to the INMO, there are 34 patients, is that right, in Kilkenny waiting for beds today. But you might explain to me the features of your hospital that make it a little bit different from other Irish hospitals.
Okay, so many years ago, I mean, we opened a new acute floor in 2016. But just to give you an example, the brief for that is the plan, went to the architects in 2006. And we opened it in 2016. Do you see the timeline that's involved with slowness? But it did open, and we're delighted. It's acute floor is a large department with 33 treatment spaces, which is very large. Well, we thought it was very large in 2016 anyway. It's got an emergency department. It's got an acute medical assessment unit, acute surgical assessment unit, acute pediatric assessment unit, acute obstetric assessment unit. So what the idea of that is to take the huge numbers of patients that are coming through, unsupportable numbers that are arriving, a huge flood, and then divide them based on what the GP says. So we see, by the way, the GP is a senior decision maker in the community, and if a GP writes a letter saying this is an acute medical patient, they go straight to acute medicine. They don't have any delay. If they say it's surgery or minor injuries or whatever they say, that's what followed. The patients that walk in without seeing their GP are obviously triaged by very experienced nurses, but slotted into those pathways. And medicine, which I'm involved with, out of the 51,000 that attended last year, only 8,000 went to medicine, which is a much smaller number, but they're the older, sicker, frailer patients with three diagnoses each who have chronic diseases that really need, you know, quite skillful care. And the theory is that you front-load the acute medical assessment unit with senior decision makers, and you bring investigations early, so you absolutely investigate, make the diagnosis early in the first few hours, institute treatment, and send the patient home. So we call that ambulatory care. It's better to be in their own bed. We back that up with an excellent community team called the Community Intervention Team, which is right through the southeast, and they have them in many hospitals, but they work really well. And they'll attend the patients at home, give them antibiotics, do dressings, give insulin, you know, all the things that can be done in a hospital, can be done in the community.
I'm trying to follow as best I can, and I'm trying from my own knowledge to see what the difference is with other hospitals. So a key feature is that the patient is assessed at GP level or in the community before they arrive to A&E, and then that makes it easier to divide them up. Is that right? And the walk-ins are seen really quickly and sent home quickly with a follow-up intervention team. Is that that's fundamentally the change?
Yeah, that's true. So stop them coming in at the beginning. So that's the GP critical role in that. And if a GP sees 10 patients, 9 of them won't come in. One of them might come in with a GP letter, either sent by letter or by email through HealthLink. Then they're immediately sent. There's no second guessing of what the GP said. So if the GP says, I think this is pneumonia, they go to the medical assessment unit. The GP says, I think this is appendicitis, they'll call a surgeon. If it's a fracture, if it's a burn, if it's a laceration, all these kind of things, they go to emergency department. If it's a minor injury, they're treated by advanced nurse practitioners. They go straight to an advanced nurse practitioner. They don't see a doctor. Of course, doctors
but
are always
available. Can I ask you, Professor, how come GPs in Kilkenny and in your catchment area around St. Luke's, how come the hospital and GPs have that working relationship or understanding then, where it isn't the case maybe in other places?
Well, I'm not sure about other places, but I'm here a long time, but this relationship started before I came here. There was always a good relationship. So we have monthly meetings run, chaired by a GP, Johnny Cuddihy. One month they're held face-to-face meetings. The next month they're held by Zoom. Everything's discussed from the GP point of view. It's a minuted meeting, agended meeting with action points. Manager of the hospital, the pharmacist, the community managers will be invited, and decisions will be made. So this has gone on a long time, and it works really well. It works to the GP's advantage, it works to the hospital's advantage, and it works to the patient's advantage.
So that brings efficiencies, does it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we often look for things, and we will have support from our GP colleagues saying, we need this, so a lot of new... I mean, sometimes you get a lot of doom and gloom, but a lot of new things have happened. I mean, I did mention that it took 10 years to build a building a decade ago. Mm-hmm. We have had a 72-bed... all single bedrooms, ensuite, digital building, built and opened in 18 months, on time and on budget. Now, that was because of the COVID regulations. So if it hadn't been for that new building, we would have been swamped by the current wave of respiratory illnesses. To give you an example, at the worst of COVID, the worst day we had 45 COVID patients in here. Now, today, we have 70. Most of them are flu, a good number of COVID, about 35 flus, and a few RSV. So we have, in the day when we were doing the COVID patients during the pandemic, the worst of it, we had closed the hospital. There was no outpatients. We weren't doing surgery. Mm-hmm. Now we're still running a hospital full tilt with outpatients, surgery, and we're seeing 70 patients. We were infected, but we have a new wing with the 72 ensuite bedrooms. Was a huge, absolutely amazing benefit to us. And I don't think we would have survived
without
that. I'm
sure people will look at that enviously as well, and that's probably has to be factored in. Can I ask you, though, have other hospitals tried to replicate this, or other regions tried to replicate what seems to be quite an efficient system you have?
Oh, yeah. Many hospitals have, but... Maybe what I go back to, there was a relationship here between GPs and consultants in this hospital for many, many years. I would say decades. I don't know why that developed. It predated me. And it's just been built upon. So this is called the Acute Medicine Program. That's the idea of it. Has been taken up in many other hospitals, but maybe didn't have the number of years behind them as we have here. And it's hard to change processes. It's hard to get new buildings. It's hard to get work staff more. I use a phrase all the time with the other hospitals that I talk to, which is all change is difficult, even from worse to better. So, but when people are working so hard, they can't lift their heads even to see the benefits that can be.
So a lot of that change must fall on middle management in St. Luke's, does it?
Well, we have senior management in St. Luke's, very, very good management, and the manager and the management team, which is tiny. Okay, we don't have a huge lot of managers here. We have one manager, one deputy manager, and two business managers, and that's
really?
It.
Well, hang on a second, because an awful lot of people say there are far too many administrators and managers in hospitals.
That is absolutely not true. We have a really, I don't know, I can't speak for everywhere, but we have a really lean, very effective team here in management. I mean, just to give you a couple of examples, we have social worker, right? Mm-hmm. One. We have one bed manager on call. We have one flow manager, full stop. So when she's not here, we don't have a flow manager. We have 1.6 speech and language therapists, and we have a really good stroke unit with two stroke physicians. So sometimes, and just in case people think we're getting everything, we have very marked shortages of staff, and if I'm a clinical director, and if anybody gave us extra staff, we'd be delighted.
Okay, well, look, It's a more efficient system, people say, than in many other hospitals. And maybe there is a model there for other hospitals to follow. Professor Gary Courtney, Clinical Director at St. Luke's Hospital in Kilkenny. Thank you very much indeed for your time this evening.